is ISKCON a cult and a brainwashing movement? Do they employ some sort of black magic or art to attract people? By different dictionaries, a cult is essentially defined in two ways. A system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or object, and also as a group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or as imposing excessive control over members. Most of the people think of cult something like the letter one. However, if you understand what is ISKCON, its message and intention, then it will be clear that ISKCON fits the former definition only. Let us try to understand what is ISKCON. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is essentially a spiritual organization with the main objective of unifying spiritually minded people from all over the world, whose goal is to glorify the Supreme Lord, follow His teachings as described in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and to share with those who are open and happy to receive it. If someone has read the Bhagavad Gita, then they should know that the Lord Himself neither employs His supreme powers nor forces to convince Arjuna, but rather at the end of narrating the whole Gita, He tells Arjuna he has a choice whether to accept the message of Gita or not. So since ISKCON is a representative of Bhagavad Gita, their followers can never apply force or try to impose excessive control over others. Also, it is observed that when a person is forced to do something initially, they might do it, but later on they will leave it and won't sustain continuing doing it for the long time. That's why those who commit to follow the Bhagavad Gita with determination, patience and enthusiasm through natural inspiration instead of force are the only ones who practice for their entire lives. From a technical point of view, ISKCON is one of the most authentic and bona fide branch of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, which is a branch of the Brahma Madhva Vaishnava Sampradaya. Now, since ISKCON was incorporated just 50 years ago, many people feel that it's a recent and new movement to influence people in the tenets of the principle of bhakti. However, please note that although ISKCON is surely an organization formed recently, but the teaching of Bhagavad Gita that it promotes dates back to the time when Krishna instructed Brahma, and the same information is passed down in the parampara of bona fide spiritual masters. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord states that when this succession is broken, then He Himself appears to re-establish Dharma, else He sends His empowered representatives. So during the time when India was greatly influenced by the Britishers, and also a bit prior to that time, the Vedic culture was almost getting extinct. Interestingly, the main purpose of the Britishers was to destroy India's only true wealth and treasure, and that was its Vedic culture, and they were really successful in doing that to a great extent. In order to revamp this culture, the Lord sent Srila Prabhupada, making him an instrument to disseminate the message of Bhagavad Gita throughout the world. Now, this might be taken frivolously, but there are many evidences to support it. Like the very first instruction His Guru gave him was to share the message of Bhagavad Gita in the Western country. Srila Prabhupada always thought he would execute this instruction later and first try to distribute to the people of India, but he was repeatedly unsuccessful in his attempts. While attempting in India, His Guru, although being passed away from this mortal world, repeatedly appeared in his dreams and gave him the same instructions. Finally, at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada embarked on this great mission in 1965, and within a span of 12 years, he was able to spread the holy name of Krishna in most of the important cities of the world. This was certainly an extraordinary and miraculous feat for any ordinary human being to perform, and it definitely proved that he was an extremely empowered agent of the Lord sent for a specific purpose. This is also verified in the scriptures and the words of great previous acharyas as follows. In the Patisarva part of the Bhavishya Purana, chapter 20, verses 71 to 73, we find the following prediction. Lord Jagannath, the Supreme Lord Hari Himself, spoke these attractive words for the welfare of all. The Malichas, who are born from mixed countries, ruled by descendants of Kashyapa, and the Sudras will become Brahmanas by initiation. They will wear Shikas and Brahmana threads and will become well versed in uncontaminated fruit of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam. They will worship me by the Yajna prescribed by Lord of Lords, the protector of Sachi Devi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 46 years before the beginning of Kali Yuga, Vishnu Chitta, one of the 12 great Vaishnava saints of the Sri Ramaruja Sampradaya, predicted, there will come a race which will tread the earth with raised hands and vertical tilak on their foreheads, who will chant the names of Hari. This will destroy the influence of Kali. Divya Prabandha 1.10. Sripad Ramanuja also, Charya also predicted, the pure devotion to Sri Hari, devoid of karma and jnana, will grow, and grow like a banyan tree, covering the whole world, teaching everyone who takes shelter. Prapanna Amrita Tarpan, last chapter. It is interesting to note in this connection how Srila Prabhupada ISKCON is preaching Jnana Karmavi Anavritam to Jaro Dikhe Tarek Hare Krishna Upadesh in every town and village. Sri Madhvacharya also predicted the real knowledge of the difference between Jiva and Srihari and the service of Srihari will spread all over the world very shortly. Anum Madhur Vijaya, last chapter. In the Bhagavat Mahatmya, Uttarakhand of the Padma Purana, Bhakti personifies this to Narad Muni. Idam Sthanam Parityajya Videsham Ganyate Mayo. I will leave this country, India, and go abroad. It was certainly none other than Srila Prabhupada who fulfilled these predictions of the scriptures and the acharyas by spreading the teachings of the Vedas throughout the world. Even Lord Chaitanya, who is none other than Lord Krishna, when he appeared 500 years ago in this yuga, predicted that my commander-in-chief will soon arrive and spread the holy name of Lord Krishna in every town and village. Not only that, but he also stated that for the next 10,000 years, the entire world will become devotees of Krishna, after which the influence of Kali will increase rapidly and people will become more atheistic towards the end of Kali Yuga. Indeed, we see that whatever was predicted earlier, all came to be true in the person of Srila Prabhupada and in the inception of ISKCON. From this, it is very clear that in future, many people will join, will be joining and accept the path of bhakti. And how can people join, follow and commit to a path for their entire lives without natural inclination? Obviously, who will not be attracted to the path of pure devotion and selfless love when there is so much hypocrisy going on in the world due to the qualities of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride being prevalent everywhere? People definitely want justifications for the variety of injustices happening to them in every area of life. Moreover, many people worship God but do not know who is God and how can we connect with Him. And when they come to ISKCON, they get their answers. Their lives are transformed and ultimately they feel happy and satisfied for good. So then, how can ISKCON be called as a cult with regards to the latter definition? In fact, ISKCON is the foremost branch of Gaudiya Sampradaya that is fulfilling this desire of the Lord's scriptures and all the great acharyas. Hence, ISKCON completely satisfies and can only fit the first definition. Now, regarding brainwashing, that too can be taken on a positive side if you actually understand what is being washed. People carry so much contamination in the mind in the form of impurities like lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. So is it not good to wash them periodically? These are the only things that are washed by ISKCON or any other Vaishnava Sampradaya through the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. That is the reason people get naturally attracted to follow it throughout their lives. Also note that this culture is already inherent in the people of India, but whether they openly promote it or not, that's a different thing. Lakhs and lakhs of people go to temple and worship the Lord ritualistically, but when asked to make the Lord the center of one's life, then they will hesitate and generally always emphasize money as the center, and only when we get time we should worship the Lord. However, when they experience suffering and frustration through this way, then they turn to God and later dedicate themselves to keep the Lord in the center. Hence, there is no question of converting or forcing anyone. People naturally become devotees. It is also a fact and common experience that the formation of organization is extremely beneficial to connect people throughout the world. There are many advantages of doing that, and it results in creating unity and harmony amongst the followers. Although there may be differences amongst individuals in an organization like ISKCON, but they cooperate and unite for the higher purpose to serve the Lord and keep Him in the center. Obviously, there are great advantages of forming an organization, and that's the reason people establish many corporates, companies, industries which run on this principle. What the United Nations has failed to achieve, ISKCON has achieved it in a tremendous way in the span of just a few years and continues to do that as long as the cult of bhakti grows. Thank you.